Hello, everyone in podcast land. This is David Weiss coming at you with another episode of Psych and Sales. And as usual, I am joined by my beautiful co-host, Dr. Aaron Weiss. Aaron, would you like to say hi?
Hello, everyone.
So thank you all for joining us for another episode of Psych and Sales. This is going to be a continuation of our series around self-defeating beliefs. And this one is going to be love. If you are jumping into this and you have not listened to the previous one on achievement, feel free to go check that out where we introduced the series. But today we are going to be covering love, and I will turn it over to my lovely co-host that I love very much to tell us about love. So over to you, Aaron.
Yes, thank you. So category love, self-defeating beliefs around love. So love is a good thing, right? But we could potentially have some belief systems that might get in the way when it comes to both having love as well as just functioning in everyday life when we don't feel like things are going the way that we would want in terms of our love life. So again, we're going to have three here, just like we did on the achievement one. We've got approval addiction, which is this idea of just needing people's approval to be worthwhile. So not exactly love, but similar. Love addiction, which is more like I can't be a happy, fulfilled person if I'm not loved. And then fear of rejection. So this idea that if someone rejects you, that it kind of proves that there's something wrong with you and that you're not going to be loved and that you're not worthwhile. So those three, again, approval addiction, love addiction, and fear of rejection. So
let's start at the top. So, yeah. So let's talk about approval addiction.
We're going to try and relate this to you as a salesperson, as well as how it can impact your life and thereby your sales. So yes, for approval addiction, what would you say? What are some ways that approval addiction might actually be a good thing as a salesperson? We're going to look at some pros and cons, just like last time, actually. If any of these sound like they might fit you, I'd encourage you to grab a piece of paper, put a line down the middle, and start writing along with us. What are the ways that this is helpful in your life, and what are some of the ways that it might be getting in the way, or it's kind of a cost-benefit analysis?
So if we start with what's helpful, you know, the thought that you need people around you to make you feel worthwhile, need people's approval around you to make you feel worthwhile, you know, that could be good. So the way it's good at least shows up in my life is that that means I'm going to work really hard to, you know, do the right things, build a good brand for myself, hit the achievement metrics and that the organization puts on me, whether it's a certain number of calls or, you know, leading a team in a certain way or, you know, based on expectations, I'm going to do those things. Because, you know, if I don't do those things, people aren't going to be very happy with me.
Similar to the perfectionism and the achievement, but this time it's for the sake of other people approving of what you're doing.
Absolutely. But then on the flip side, you know, some of the negatives can be when I'm not getting that approval or I do make a mistake, feeling, you know, extra bad about myself or feeling depressed or that, you know, I'm worth less if people don't like me.
If they're disappointed in you.
Or if they're disappointed in me.
Unhappy with something you've done.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, and I've battled with this a little bit, folks, you know, when I've had situations where I was in that, you know, people weren't, you know, happy with things that I was doing. And, you know, I had to really think, is this something that David's actually doing? Is this the person? You know, what is actually going on here? And I've actually worked very hard to, you know, externally seek validation to see if it was me or if it was others. So, I mean, there's just some interesting things that, that go on here, around this, you know, any thoughts?
Yeah. So, I think that one positive there is that you're evaluating it, but if you were too strong in the approval addiction, you might not, but it kind of leads to you making sure that you're doing the right things and maybe changing course if you need to. And I've seen you also when it helped you to expand your network to get approval from other people, as long as you were doing it and, you know, kind of see is what I'm doing on a wide scale something that people approve of or not. So you kind of almost did an experiment, actually. That would be a way of testing this. Is this something like maybe everybody can't approve of me, but, you know, is this something that would be widely approved of or disapproved of? So that would be a way of kind of challenging it for yourself.
Yeah, and I've gone through those exercises, and I think the point was I wanted to get to a realistic idea of do I need to make, you know, changes in myself, or is it potentially you know, my environment that was the issue, or was it a little bit of both, or where did it really lie? So, you know, what the end goal for me was to build some sort of internal self-approval where I've got enough data points internally and externally to say, okay, you know, I am good. And I think that's where I'd love for the audience to start thinking about is the only approval you need is your own.
Right. I mean, kind of thinking about in terms of this approval addiction, you know, there might be some people who are just not going to approve of you. Right. Yeah. And kind of thinking about, is it really that important to me that I'm going to twist myself into knots to try and get their approval? And, you know, are the things I would have to do things that are also in line with my value system? So.
And then the question is, should you hang out around those people? Should you stay around those people? Should you make changes in your life? Because if someone or an environment is constantly invalidating you, you can have all the internal mechanisms in place, but it's going to still bring you down. You'll be able to lift yourself back up pretty quickly because you'll know who you are internally, but it's just no fun at that point.
It kind of reminds me, have you ever heard the story of the old man and the young man and the donkey?
No, go for it. I'm excited.
So it's old man.
Three people walk into a bar. One's an old man, one's a young man, one's a donkey.
But they're walking down the street, okay. Or down a path, and the young boy is riding on the donkey, and so they walk past some people, and people are, oh, what a shame. The young boy makes the old man walk, and so they switch places, and the old man gets on the donkey, and the young man starts walking, or the boy, and they pass some more people. Oh, what a shame. The old man makes the young boy walk, and so they both get on the donkey, and they're riding along, and they pass some more people, and those people say something like, oh, what a shame that poor donkey with those two people sitting on him. And so they decide to carry the donkey.
So the purpose is going.
We're almost there.
Almost there.
So yeah, as they're carrying the donkey, they go over a bridge and they lose their grip on him, and he goes over the edge. And so if you try to please everyone, you lose your donkey.
So I was going to say just people suck, and
you can't please everyone. You
can't please everybody.
And if you try, you wind up losing something out of that.
Yep. But there is an importance there. I mean, if you're getting negative feedback, you do need to explore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to think about it and evaluate it and get feedback from other places before you just write it off.
Yep. Because then if you don't, you're just arrogant. You know,
right.
There's nothing wrong about me. I'm perfect. I'm great. How dare anybody think that, you know, I am not as awesome as I think I am. And you know what? You may be that awesome. If the whole world is telling you that, hey, peace, you're an awesome person. I love you. I'd like to get to know you. But
maybe not if they think that way. But
hey,
sure.
Hey, if everybody says they're awesome,
then they're also going to be humble.
Well, okay. Hey, peace. But the point is you have to validate it in an appropriate way. And that is a good exercise to do to build kind of a, you know, an internal belief system. But the point is you need to have a strong internal belief system. You need to, when it's challenged, you need to evaluate it, see if those things are true.
Right.
But still maintain an internal strength, because otherwise you can get yourself beat down by the world.
Right. And doing things like doing an experiment, or as far as, you know, testing that with other people, or surveying other people, that kind of thing can be a helpful thing there. And honestly, that idea of like, I'm perfect, and, you know, how dare anybody counter that, could be a negative side of approval addiction. If you really can't handle it, you might turn into someone who kind of tries to argue your way into getting other people to approve of you almost. So, yep.
which has its own issues in itself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So should we move to the next one, the love addiction?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, so this one might be a little trickier for a salesperson, but kind of what I'm thinking here.
We don't love, we don't have hearts?
No, in terms of how it's going to impact you. Of course you have hearts. But you know, positive.
No one loves us.
What would be some positive things about love addiction? And I could see like it might seek, you might have more of a support system. If you're always, if you're seeking out love, to you'll have that support system. You're not going to be kind of just going it alone.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, this kind of ties back into rejection. So I don't want to jump the gun too much, but, it also ties a little bit to approval. So I feel like these things are a little bit intertwined when it comes to sales. But the thought for me would be with love, very similar to approval, which is, you know, I'm going to put love out there. I'm going to, you know, care a lot deeply about people because I want them to love and care deeply about me. But then, you know, the negative side to that again is when they don't, someone would feel bad. I'd feel bad. And then that goes into, once you start feeling bad, then it ties to rejection. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to be rejected. So I'm not going to put love out there. And I'm not going to allow myself to be vulnerable. So I think there are some tie-ins here, maybe not as deep as the other two specifically for professional selling, but it's still, you know, that the personal side of our relationships and also the relationships we have with our coworkers and our clients where, you know, salespeople really do care deeply. That it's one of the reasons why we do what we do. At least a lot of the great ones is that we truly want to help people, and we do put a lot of love and care and kindness into the world because, you know, we want to get it back, and we want to have mutually beneficial relationships. And we know that we can't just have, you know, people aren't just going to either buy from us or relate to us if it's always professional all the time. So we do need to get to know people on a personal level. So there may be this, you know, I wouldn't call it a love as in, you know, marriage or romantic love, but there is humanity love that that really does, you know, play a part. But we also need to remember we have to love ourselves. And again, this is a lot of a, you know, kind of that internal belief that if someone's rejecting us, they're not rejecting us as people, and I'm going to talk more about this in a second, they're more rejecting our company or our idea. And it doesn't mean they don't love us. It just means from a business perspective, it wasn't right for them, and that's okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was kind of thinking of it too, and like the personal standpoint and how that might impact you as a salesperson. So someone who has this in terms of a romantic love addiction, that, you know, they may be distracted by trying to find love, at times that they don't have it, that could potentially get in the way of work. And they might be fine as long as they're in a stable relationship. But let's say something happens where that breaks up, that might also send them into kind of a tailspin where it makes it harder for them to function at work. So just ways that could in your personal life then turn around and impact you as a salesperson as well.
Yeah. And I've seen people and people that, you know, I've seen other leaders lead that, you know, have gone through breakups and then they need to date someone right away and then breakups and date someone right away. And, you know, it definitely impacts their work and they're constantly on this, you know, emotional roller coaster. So again, I mean, look, we understand that it's, you know, being connected with people and feeling loved is really important. But I go back to the statement I made a second ago, like you need to evaluate that. And if you can't be alone, you know, because maybe there's some issues with you feeling, you know, complete as a person, you know, think about that for a second and realize that you got to love yourself first. And if you don't love who you are, it's going to be a lot harder for, you know, others to get to know you and fully love you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Should we go to the rejection one next?
Yep. I think that one has a lot of bearing.
Absolutely. So, I think probably of the three here that might be the strongest for our sales listeners.
So fear of rejection, folks. I mean, look, that, you know, stops us from sending an email, picking up the phone, you know, putting ourselves out there, you know, throwing things up on LinkedIn, you know, trying to build a brand. Like there's so many, you know, things that the thought in the head is, what if someone doesn't like this? What if someone, you know, trolls me? What if someone makes a negative comment on me? What if someone, you know, doesn't want to buy from me? What if someone doesn't pick up the phone or hangs up on me? You know, what if someone throws an objection at me? It's all of the things that we deal with. And, you know, those all tie back to fear of rejection. So, you know, how I've overcame that in my life is the thought that people aren't rejecting me, David, as a human. They're rejecting my idea, and you can't please everybody, or they're rejecting my proposal, or they're rejecting my company, or, you know, what I'm providing isn't a good fit for them. And so I maintain this kind of separation, if you will, of me as a human and me as a professional. And people can reject David as a professional all day long, because I still have a ton of belief in myself as a professional and as a person. So I've had to kind of separate some of those things. And then the other piece of this is, look, you're never going to please everyone. And you're always going to have someone who doesn't like or comments negatively. But, you know, again, think about it. Are you being rejected 100% of the time?
I was just thinking that if you get this kind of mental filter going on where you only notice what's negative. And so taking kind of a wider lens and a kind of examining what's the evidence here, you know, am I getting, you know, 99 positive comments and one negative one, and just focusing on that negative as evidence that there's something bad or wrong about me? Or am I actually getting more rejection, more negative feedback, in which case maybe I do need to take a stock and evaluate if I'm doing something wrong or if I'm in an environment that doesn't fit me well?
I think that's 100%, honey. Like, it's take a data-driven approach with rejection in sales. And this is really important, because you need to take a data-driven approach here, because if you don't, you may be sending out the wrong messaging, or because you're like, oh, you know, it's just sales, they're going to reject me. But if your message is getting rejected 80% of the time, you may want to tweak the message.
Yeah.
If your LinkedIn post is full of negative comments as opposed to positive ones, you may not want to post on that. You may want to remove the post. You may want to adjust the post. You may want to clarify your intention and your purpose. Because frankly, what I've found, and this is posting hundreds of times, the majority is positive comments. You'll probably 99% are positive comments. And if 99% are positive comments, well, shoot, keep posting what you're posting, because it's helping people. But if the flip is true and you're getting more negative than positive, you may want to evaluate that and listen to it and poll some of your readers and ask them what they thought about it and read the comments and do something about it. So again, take a data-driven approach. If things are going most of the time good, keep doing what you're doing. If they're going most of the time bad, you know, make some changes. And then when it comes to messaging, there's this thing called A-B testing, A-B test stuff. So like make one tweak to your message, send it to a handful of people, see what gets better results, better response rates, and continue to tweak over time in a scientific way. Like, that's taking a data-driven approach to this whole concept of rejection, because we know in sales, we will be rejected, folks. It is okay. It is natural. People are fearful of salespeople. People are fearful of change. So rejection will happen, but it doesn't mean they're rejecting you. And we need to look at the data and use that to inform how we approach things in the future.
Right. So even if you're getting mostly negative feedback, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you as a person and that you are worthless. What it means is that there's probably something that needs tweaking in your messaging or your approach to make it better. But if you have this self-defeating belief that says that, well, that just means I'm worthless, then
now,
that's going to get
paralyzed.
Now you're paralyzed. Exactly.
Yeah. And look, we've all probably been there, you know, and especially for folks that are listening to this that maybe earlier on in their career, and, you know, the first five calls they make, you know, you're nervous. You haven't done it before. They don't go well. So now all of a sudden you suck. and now you're going to perpetuate the you suck feeling. And just know, we all suck when we start out. Like, just relate it back to the first time you threw a baseball, or you swung a bat, or you swung a club, or you did anything athletic. You tried anything. When you first start out at anything, you suck. It's just how it is. And then you practice over time, and you get better, and you get better, and you refine, and you get better, and then you iterate, and you get better, and it's just on and on and on. You eventually become great at something if you try enough times. But early on, if you give up or you know, feel or don't get back on that, you know, horse quickly, you could really, you know, hurt your career and hurt the momentum you're trying to build professionally, because all you're doing is saying to yourself, I suck, and therefore moving slower and not getting back and doing it again and again and again and again. So accept the failure, accept the suck, and it's going to be okay. And you will get better if you keep trying.
Yeah, we actually have something in psychology called rejection practice. I'm not sure how this might relate to sales, but let's say, like, dating wise, if you're afraid to approach somebody and so you're not getting any dates because you're not approaching anybody, the idea is to kind of expect rejection and, like, just go out and approach a lot of people and see how many rejections you rack up. Yep. Because somewhere along the line, you may get something that's not a rejection, and then you can learn from that and grow from there.
Yeah, the thought is, if you talk to one person at a bar, you may not get their number. You talk to 50 or 100 people at a bar, you're going to walk away with some numbers. I mean, it's just a lot of averages. You're eventually going to meet somebody.
Right. And so the idea there is just get used to getting rejected and that it isn't a personal thing and that it doesn't mean something about you.
Yep. Absolutely. Play the numbers, play the averages. It's not a personal thing. No one's rejecting you. It just, you know, the may have been the wrong message, may have been the wrong approach. Just get back on, just do it again and again and again. And you'll absolutely figure it out. It's like with anything, you do enough of the motion, you're going to figure out what works and what doesn't. So that's it. Approval addiction, love addiction, and fear of rejection. The thought here is once you put some labels to things, you can often start identifying these beliefs and if you're experiencing these things, and just know then because of that, you're not alone. These are well-researched, well-thought-out beliefs. We all experience them. And know, you know, it's not just you that's maybe going through this. So take a hard look at some of these things and you know,
recognize it, evaluate it, and then see what you can do to shift it to be something that helps you more than it's hurting you, if you find that it's hurting you more than it's helping you.
Absolutely. Any closing comments on this before we wrap up?
No, just that. I'd say, well, I guess, you know, if you come up with a new thought or approach, a new belief to try and replace it with, you might try doing a cost-benefit analysis of the new one, too. What are the pros and cons of having this new belief versus the pros and cons that I had of my old belief, to try and see if you've come up with one that may be a more helpful viewpoint to start reminding yourself of and trying to replace the old belief with.
So that's awesome. So our next topic will be submissiveness. So that will be next week. I hope you all listen to that. Hope this was helpful for you all, our topic on the self-defeating beliefs of love. And we're excited to talk to you guys again soon. As usual, stay healthy, stay happy, love yourself, love the people around you in a healthy way. And we're excited to talk to you guys again. So thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.